And I'm glad you're here this morning. I wouldn't want to preach to an empty congregation. It's good to see you here. And I'm thankful that we're going to continue the series in Joshua today. Joshua chapter 1, as we talk about moving into God's purpose for our lives, stepping into His plans. Proverbs 29, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's mind, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." Notice the difference between the plural, many plans, and God's purpose. God has a purpose for us. We've talked so far about how God had a purpose for Ruth, and Ruth listened, and she obeyed and did what she felt like God was asking her to do. And then at the end of that little book of four chapters, we saw how Ruth married Boaz, and they had a son named Obed, and Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David, became King David. Week after that, we looked at Abraham. Abraham listened and obeyed God and went, and God said, "Your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky." Abraham was faithful, and God blessed him. And we now are in the lineage of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Many, many descendants. Last week, we looked at Moses. Moses heard the call to go back into the slave land of Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, "Who am I, Lord?" And God said, "I'll go with you." And Moses wound up going, and we saw how God blessed and delivered and turned his staff into the staff of the Lord. It was anointed. Today, we're going to look at Moses' successor, Joshua. How God's purpose prevails. Individuals come and go, but God's purpose remains the same. Let's read out of Joshua chapter 1, the first 9 verses. I'm reading from the NLT this morning, the New Living Translation. "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you.'" Verse 4, "From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you. As I was with Moses, I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." May the written word become the living word today. And may the Spirit help us to hear and understand so we can apply it. Lord, permit me to get out of the way. May we see you high and lifted today. And may we fall at your feet. And may we say like Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Lord, may the fire of your Spirit touch our lives just as you did Isaiah and changed him and prepared him to be willing to go. so that, Lord, we'll be able to know that when we leave here, that your presence goes with us. Your promises remain faithful and true. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. The book of Joshua is my favorite book in the Old Testament. The 24 chapters are dealing with principles of victory. It's a life of a bunch of wanderers who become settlers. It's a story about sojourners who become soldiers. It's about those who were depending on manna from heaven to marching on in and possessing the promised land and beginning to cultivate crops. It's a powerful story. The primary principle that goes from chapter 1 to chapter 24 is that God wants to lead his people into victory. And I hope you're excited this morning about being on the cutting edge of where God's leading us. I attended a workshop yesterday. It was more than a workshop. It was an event. The best days of Methodism are ahead of us. There were about 1,000 people gathered down at Clear Branch United Methodist Church outside of Birmingham. The best days for any church are ahead of us if we'll just lean into the bright future God has for us. Somebody say amen to that, even though this is traditional. Because God doesn't change. And I want to share with you three words today in a moment about these nine verses. But the word Joshua is a prophetic word. In Hebrew, Joshua means the same as Jesus. God saves. So God used an individual named Joshua to save his people, to lead his people to the promised land. The first word I want us to look at is the word promise. We need to understand God's promise this morning. If we don't really understand what his promise is to us, we cannot live into it. As we've been talking these 3 weeks, some people walk around God's purpose. Some people walk away from God's purpose. But Joshua heard clearly, just as Moses did, and he walked into God's purpose. I pray that the Holy Spirit will so convict us this morning that no one will leave here wanting to walk around God's purpose. But we'll have hearts broken, saying, Lord, I want to go where you're leading. I want to walk into your plan for my life. I want you to notice in verse 2, God spoke to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, God wasn't speaking bad about Moses. He wasn't being negative at all. He was just, it's just a fact. He was sharing with, Moses is dead, Joshua. God wasn't saying anything about Moses' leadership. He was just letting Joshua know, Joshua, it's today, it's right now. Moses was yesterday. I'm calling you to lead my people. Anything that's holding us up from moving into the bright future God has for us, we need to hear God say, Moses is dead. Yesterday's over. Time for right now. And that's the gospel message, isn't it? The gospel message is that our sins have been nailed to the cross. And in Christ Jesus, we're free to move triumphantly into the wonderful grace and plan he has for our lives. Paul said it great in Galatians chapter 2. I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, he said. And the life I now live, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. May we walk into our bright tomorrows as we hear God say, okay, it's time. Maybe you've been wandering in a wilderness for too long. And God's saying, okay, Mike, George, John, Pete, it's time. Let's move forward. I want you to cross the Jordan. I want you to get into the promised land, the land of victory. The land of abundant fruit. Verse 3, as we still look at that word promise, he said, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land that I have given you. What do you hear? That, That promise is loaded and it's pregnant with divine possibilities that depends upon human responsibility. God said, I'm giving it to you. Wherever you step, it's yours. God's promised you and I that we will be able to be the people He called us to be. But He said, now I want you to go claim it by faith. God was basically saying to Joshua, Joshua, are you going to fold up right now or are you going to unfold? Are you going to fold up the tents? Or are you going to unfold and go and do what I promised to do? This week I was rereading some in Psalms, and I do that daily. And I ran across a verse in Psalm 18, verse 29, that I don't ever remember reading before. Isn't it amazing how God's Word, no matter how many times you read it, He'll always be able to speak to you a fresh word? The last half of verse 29 basically says, because God, in the first part of that verse, He's talking about how God is our God, and He's going to go with us. And because of that, David, the psalmist, says, I can scale any wall. Do you believe that this morning? That with God's help, you can scale any wall? I had a picture of a high wall and one of those ropes hanging down. Have you ever tried a ropes course or climbing a rope like that where you're trying to scale a wall? With God's help, David said, I can scale any wall. That's confidence, isn't it? That's believing the promises of God. And I want to tell you, child of God, this morning, with God's help, we can scale any wall. I believe the best days for this church are ahead of us and not behind us, because our God's promises never change. He's as faithful and as real today as He has ever been. The second word I want to look at for just a moment is found in the last half of verse 5 and verse 9. And the word is presence. We need to understand His promise. He said, I'm going to be with you, and it's going to be okay. The last half of verse 5 talks how we need to realize His presence is with us. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. As I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. What a wonderful promise, because God was with Moses all those years. Moses said, as we discussed last week, who am I? I can't do that, God. And God said, here, you can, because I'm going to be with you. So His promise is that we will possess the land. He reminds us that His presence, He's going to go with us, and He will be our help. About 15 years ago, when we were at Tuscumbia First Church, we hosted a district event, and Dr. Jimmy Buskirk was the preacher for the weekend. And on Sunday morning, he shared how he preached from what he called the overflow. Well, that resonated with me. He said, I work hard, I prepare more than my time allows me, and I pray, and then I get up to preach, and I just depend upon the Holy Spirit. I just preach from the overflow, what comes out. That's so different than a lot of preachers, isn't it? And that resonated with, that spoke to me, and I said, that's the kind of anointing, that's why He's anointed. That's why His church at Tulsa First United Methodist was so blessed and grew so. He preaches by the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he told in that message about while he was in elementary school, he got in trouble one day at school. And the principal called him in his office, and the principal also called his dad. And his dad had to leave work and come to school because Jimmy was in trouble and in the principal's office. He said that wasn't the first time. And Jimmy was ready. He said, when Dad walked into the principal's office, I was ready. I looked out because I knew I was going to get a paddling, and I said to my dad, Dad, he can't whip both of us. The Lord is on our side. No matter what we face, if God's gracious hand is covering us, if the blood of Jesus is over us, then greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. God's presence goes with us, and He is sufficient. He is able. The last half of verse 9, He says, don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want you to hang on to that precious reminder that His promise includes His presence. And wherever we go, He says, I'm with you. When I was about 12 or 13, our church hosted Frank Routon Harvey. Some of you probably heard of Frank Harvey, Frank Harvey Routon. He was a Methodist evangelist, but he didn't dress in a coat and tie or a robe. He dressed like Jesus dressed. And he had a long, dark red beard. And he was going to be speaking at Morgan Methodist Church on a Sunday night. And he was going to be preaching the Sermon on the Mount, just as Jesus did, just as we have recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So when it got close to the hour, the lights were turned out in the sanctuary. And then just a moment or two later, the lights were turned back on. And there was Jesus standing right in front of me. I was sitting on the first or second row right over here on this side. I won't ever forget that. And there was Jesus. And He shared Sermon on the Mount. And I think every person in that house that night under 20 was in the altar when He gave the invitation. Because we heard the words as though it was the words of Jesus. Jesus spoke. Jesus was calling. I read later, He was in a town in Georgia. He was staying in a hotel close to the church, so He was just going to walk from the hotel to the church. And He went ahead and got dressed in His costume, in His robe, dressed like Jesus, to go to the church. He was walking down the street and turned the corner and ran right into a little lady. And she looked at Him, and she reached out and grabbed Him and said, "My Jesus," and she wouldn't let go. Would you grab a hold of Him this morning? My Jesus. And don't let go. Just depend upon His promises and trust His presence. He says, I will be with you. He's not just with us when we come in this building, is He? He says, I will be with you when you go out there and have to cross the Jordans of your life, because I will part those Jordan rivers and I will allow you to walk through. And greater is the presence of God in our lives than any obstacle we will ever come up against. The third word I want to mention is power. Three different times in verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 9, God said to Joshua, be strong, be courageous. Be strong, be very courageous. And then He repeats it again in verse 9. This is my command that I give you. Be strong and courageous. Church, let's be strong. That word in the Hebrew, it means you're just gonna lock on to something and not let go. Because when we lock on to the arms of Christ, to the heart of Jesus, we are going to be strong, aren't we? Be strong, be courageous. And He tells us there in verse 7 and 8 how we can be strong and courageous. He mentions meditate on God's word and obey it. Two different times He says obey the word. But He says, Joshua, here's my promise. You're going to lead the people out of the wilderness wandering into the promised land. But you have to meditate on my word. I wonder how effectively we're meditating upon God's word today. We come to church, we hear 20, 25 minutes of the Word. We come to Sunday school and we hear a good lesson. But do we meditate on God's Word? Here the command is don't turn from the Word, from meditating on the Word, to the right or to the left. But meditate on it. Read God's Word in the morning. And when you go to work, be meditating on it. And when you're at work, when your mind begins to wander from what you're supposed to be doing, meditate on the word that you've read that day. And when you come home, meditate on God's word, because God's word is alive. It's powerful. It penetrates. It's like a hammer that keeps doing the work of the Spirit in our lives. He says, meditate upon. Ladies, if you've got a big diamond ring on your left finger, have you ever just taken that rock and out in the sunshine or under a bright light and just looked at it and see how beautiful it is and how it just sparkles? Just meditate. You meditate on it. We know what it means to meditate on something, don't we? Well, the Lord told Joshua, meditate on my word. Don't turn away from my word, but meditate on my word so that then you can obey it. See, we can't obey God's word if we don't know God's word, if we don't meditate on God's word. So I encourage you, make sure every day you're not just reading a verse, maybe a nice devotion. That's good, but take the Word of God and meditate on it daily. It's our strength. It's our hope. It's our life, isn't it? Power of the gospel comes to us through the word. And then it says, obey it. Now, I enjoy playing golf occasionally. And I want you to imagine with me that I'm playing with someone and he hits the ball in the rough. You know what the rough is? That's the tall grass. The fairway is the short grass in the middle. So the person I'm playing with, he hits the ball out in the rough, 6 inches deep. And I'm right in the middle of the fairway. Got a perfect look at the pin. And the person I'm playing with and against trying to beat, he walks over and he says, hey, I found my ball. You don't have to come over here and help me. And he picks it up. And he walks right over to where I am, right in the middle of the fairway, and he sets it down. He says, I think I'm going to hit from right here. He says, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. And I may be, you may be free to do that, but you're cheating. You know, that's not right. You're cheating. The rules of golf say you play the ball where it lies. I wonder how many times we, in our life, we cheat on God's word. God speaks to us, but we don't read it. We don't meditate upon it. We don't study it. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that the law reveals that we're fallen, that we're sinners, that we need a Savior. The law will drive us to the gospel. And we come face to face with Jesus Christ, and He reclaims our life. He redeems our life. And then you know what's going to happen? The gospel is going to drive us back to the law. It's going to drive us back to the Word, where we study the Word to see how to live. Because we don't know how to live if we just say, well, I'm free. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to pick the ball up and put it in the fairway. I can do what I want to do. The law will drive us to Jesus. Jesus will point us back to the Word. Meditate on this so you know how to live. Are you doing a good job? If you had to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 of reading, of studying, of meditating the Word so that you'll know how to live, let the Holy Spirit be your guide this morning. I want to do a better job. I spend a lot of time reading and studying the Word. I want to spend more time reading and studying and meditating on the Word so that it can continue to change me and I'll be more like Jesus. So the power is there when we meditate on His Word, allow the Holy Spirit to move, and then we obey Him. The last part of that verse, verse 9, says, be strong. Don't be afraid or be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. I imagine some of us are afraid or discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? Sometimes we get discouraged just through fatigue. We're tired. Physically, mentally, emotionally. We just get tired. We're fatigued, and that leads to issues where we get discouraged. I want you to imagine like a 50-gallon barrel up here beside me. And on the top, there's an inflow tube. And on the bottom, there's a drainage tube. I want you to imagine your life like that barrel for a moment. If we're not careful, the drainage, the tube on the bottom, there's going to be more outflow than there is inflow at the top. We're not allowing God to replenish us, to refill us, because there's so many things in our lives that drain us. We need to figure out how to stop the drainage from happening so quick and allowing the Spirit to fill us. Too many of us are running on empty. And we keep running because we're tired, we're fatigued. That leads to fretfulness, anxiety, and worry. When we're tired, if we're not careful, we'll begin to be anxious and worry. And worrying in anxiousness is kind of like putting your hands around your throat and squeezing. You can't think clearly. So we're anxious, we're worried. And Jesus says this morning, cast all your care on me. Cast all your anxieties on me because I care for you. But if we don't do that, that leads to frustration. It's a pattern, it's a step by step downward. From just being tired, if we're not careful, we'll worry. From that, we'll become frustrated. Frustrated is when we look at things in our lives and we don't see answers. We don't think that there's possibility of good change, and we become frustrated in different situations. And a lot of times it's about money issues. But Jesus says this morning, ask, seek, knock. There'll be a way. Don't be frustrated. Frustration, if we're not careful, leads to fear. We become afraid. There are two kinds of fear. There are those things that might happen and those things that will happen. About 95% of our fear is based upon those things that might happen. And then they don't ever happen, do they? But we don't even have to fear the things that we know will happen. Because what's God's promise? He said, I'm going to be with you. I will enable you. I will help you. Lloyd Ogilvie, a great pastor, wrote a book about how to overcome fear. And he found in God's Word that the promise, don't be afraid, occurs more often than any other promise. And he counted up, there were 366 times where he found the promise, don't fear, don't be afraid, trust in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And he said, that's not only one for every day of the year, but that's one for when there's leap year, 366 times. God's got it covered. He says, don't be afraid. So let's not fear, because fear and frustrations and all that will lead eventually to failure. And that's the bottom step, isn't it? We look around at the world and we get disgusted. We look within and we may be a little depressed. But what we need to do is look to Jesus this morning and find rest. Are you finding your rest, your hope in Him? Dale Galloway shared what's called the Achiever's Creed. I heard him share this at Asbury Seminary some years ago. The Achiever's Creed goes something like this. Whatever the mind can conceive and my heart can believe, with God's help, I can achieve it. With our minds being renewed day by day by the power of Jesus, let's allow the Spirit to help us to think boldly about what He wants us to do. What our minds can conceive and what we believe then with God's help, we can achieve it. So maybe one of these Sundays, we will substitute the Apostles' Creed for the Achiever's Creed. We won't do it very often, but when we do, you'll know why. Because God's speaking a fresh word into our lives, isn't He? He's saying, I want you to believe me. I want you to trust me. So let your mind be transformed by renewing. Don't be conformed. Don't be like this world, but be totally transformed so that you can believe what I'm doing in your life is going to happen. It's real. And then we can achieve the purpose God has for us today. So God says, don't be afraid or discouraged. And here's what I want us to do this morning as we close. I want you to take your hands and cup them like I'm doing. And in just a moment, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to do this prayerfully. We're going to cup our hands and we're going to put everything in there that God's asking us to do to give this morning. Maybe it's our fatigue. Maybe we're just wore out. We say, Lord, you said come to you, it's easy. Your burden's easy, light. Maybe it's fretfulness. Maybe we're just worry warts. And God's saying, put that in too. Frustrations, so frustrated with things. Lord, I give you my frustrations, things that I can't change. Lord, I give you my fears. Because you said, don't be afraid. And Lord, I give you the times I've failed. Because Lord, I realize I'm only a failure when I quit trying. It's not where I've been, but it's where I'm going. It's not who I am now, it's who I'm going to be. It's not what I've lost, it's, Lord, what you're going to give through me to gain. So, Lord, I put my frustration and my fears, my failures, I'm cupping them. And then in a moment, let's just dump it. Let's do that. Bow your heads and cup your hands. Whatever the Holy Spirit's saying right now, to give Him. Say, yes, Lord. Because the Lord's saying, I promise you, I'll be with you. You're going to go in and possess the promised land. But you got to meditate on my word. You got to listen. You got to obey me. So we give him the things now that's holding us back. Now, in the name of Jesus, just dump it. Open your hands and let it go. And thank Jesus for victory. He said, I'll be with you just as I was with Joshua. I will be with you just as I was with Moses and Abraham and Ruth, because I'm in you and you're in me and I'm going with you all the way. Lord, we thank you for your blessed promises, the power of your word. In Jesus' name we claim it all. Amen. Amen. Let's, as we sing our last song this morning, the altar's always, if you want me to pray with you, feel free always to come. But as we sing our last song this morning, we sing in victory because we're marching onward with Jesus.
Our closing hymn, hymn number 514, As You're Able, let's stand as we sing together. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every bow is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call of
verse 4 of Onward Christian Soldiers, let me remind you what it says. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Believe God's word. His promises are true. And he is faithful. Lord, dismiss us in your grace and your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.